Who's in that house?
Me.
Well, unlike most of the districts around the state, we had a performance audit that amounted to something, where they got into the type of details performance audit is supposed to do, and our auditor came up with that recommendation that, and in fact, they made, I think it was called an audit exception, where, which is kind of a serious term in terms of audits, like you really should be doing this, and you're not doing it, you're kind of violating the spirit, at least the spirit of the law. So, the reason we came to our attention is because we did a real performance audit, which the board authorized us to do. And so that's kind of why the other districts don't do it, because nobody's called them out yet on it, frankly. And we called it out here on this performance audit. So it's like, you know, either that's good or bad news in the district. But, you know, it's like we can do 10 things that are right, and then we do one thing like this, like, oh my God, what is that? Are you kidding me? It's been 9 months and we still aren't there yet. I mean, this is such a... It's like, who's driving the train on these recording for the hours? I don't get it. I really don't. You record the out-of-pocket managers, in my opinion, could record the hours they spend in time. And then they have certain staff to support them. If they spend 60% of this time on those projects that are bond projects and 40% pop old, their administrative support could just divvy the hours based upon the percentage of the project manager. Don't try to account for every last hour each person having to fill out a timesheet. I would guess that's the resistance. The support staff don't want to have their time monitored, if I wouldn't, on how they're spending their time amongst projects. And it's a lot, it's very time consuming. And what's the point if you can get, you know, say that it's proportionate to the amount of time spent in each various programs? Why not just do it? It's just, I guess in a lot of what I'm saying in a lot of words is it shouldn't be that complicated to do this. And I just don't understand how labor, I mean, it just baffles me. Oh, this can become a meet and confer item. Just do it. I mean, just say, you know, estimate it. Don't even have them record their time. Just have them estimate. And so we have a decent accounting. And I just, it's just, it creates a negative feeling that takes 9 months, and we're still not there yet. So I'm frustrated personally on this. So, real quick, just doing it.
I think the dollar amount is probably relatively small. It's probably on the table to go, but there's an option to this. And to pick a number out of the air and say, well, it's 35% or it's this or that, whatever it is, on the sheer time. It's easier to keep track on the construction side, but if you're doing a full cost recovery and you're going to charge so much from legal and so much from finance and so much from the other areas against the bond, then there has to be something more than simply an arbitrary number. Now, that arbitrary number may be high today when you run out of money and you don't have a lot going on, but 4 years ago would have been low. So it's kind of a pendulum swing. It's you staff up and get busy, and then it's as you go. So I think it behooves both sides of this equation to actually have a good accounting of who's working on bond funds and how much time you're spending on it. And you get an idea also of what's the frictional loss of that $40 million that's coming up that isn't actually going to get on the campus. Necessary, perhaps, but you kind of want to know what your costs are. So it may seem a bit pedantic and a small item, but I think it's an important item, and I think at some point you're going to be undercharging, and at some point you might be overcharging, but that's not a prudent way. It's not a recognized accounting method. So I think, although it may be a pain in the butt for everybody, let's just try and get through it and get something in place that everybody can work with going forward as you have more money. And you probably should be doing a similar thing against the uh, CFDs, because that money has to be accounted for as well. And we are already in a fairly deep hole when it comes to accountability on that, since it was kind of all thrown into a pot, not kept on an individual place. But that's all.
Mr. Guerrero.
So a good segue into what Ken's talking about here, and Gloria is talking about. Daniel talked to you before about this possibly setting up a separate oversight for how we're reading the CFDs. PROP will require such kind of nothing says that you have to have a Maui rules about oversight committee or anything for the district to have oversight of anything else. It's a pain in the butt, but we can be forward-leaning in this case. So what Victoria is stating is we need something to oversight for this Maui rules. It's intrusive, yes. I'm sure you don't want your staff to be burdened by another oversight committee, but yet the transparency is there, because a lot of residents, especially in the CFP, in those districts, we feel our money's not being spent correctly. I mean, let alone the PROP all, we're here questioning what's going on with CFP. And that's something that I've previously discussed, that to be more forward-leaning, you should think about putting another citizen's oversight committee that, like before I said, something to beyond PROP all. PROP all is we're doing our job. Let's go on to the next one and see. That would be just a recommendation of the recommendation for some sort of how Mount Rue looks like. Thank you.
Any comments or input?
Yes, Mr. Carey. I've taken over this for 25 years. I'm done with this.